Hello, friends, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative breakfast oasis. I am a fan of cereal, and my name is Justin McElroy.
I am a journalist and perhaps envoy of cereal, and I am Dan Goubert.
Dan runs a site called Cerealously.com, which I can't imagine he said out loud before he typed it into his
no.
domain registering service, because it is a mouthful.
Seriously, it's a mouthful. It's a pretty great sort of tagline for the site to make up for it.
I mean, it's extremely good. This is a show that is designed to help you relax. There's a lot of stressful stuff in the world, a lot of stressful media, and we are here to serve as something of a balm. The only thing that we ask for the next 20 or so minutes is that you relax, you know, and kick back. Close your eyes if that doesn't seem like too much, if you can, if you're not driving, of course. And just think about cereal for like 20 minutes. Treat yourself to a little break. You know what? If you want to make yourself a bowl of cereal, I bet you're going to be craving one by the time we're done.
Yeah, and by make yourself a bowl, you're welcome to try making the cereal itself, but in my experience, that's more stressful than soothing.
The closest I ever got was being a little kid and pouring milk on a bowl of Teddy Grahams.
I mean, that's kind of mixology. I did try to make my own Golden Grahams once by doing some, like, really dry, like, graham flour shavings, and it was just a burnt mess. I don't recommend it. No amount of milk can fix blackened ends like that.
There's always a lot of breaking news. This is a world that is ebbing and flowing constantly, with new cereals rushing to the fray or old cereals receding back into that great blue crunchy ocean. But we have something in the middle this week, Dan. Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch making its way back to shore.
Oh yeah, it's been a few years now since we saw Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch. It had a storied couple years on shelves where it really developed a cult following. I mean, granted, I loved the stuff, but there were other bloggers who practically had shrines to the stuff. They were, I don't know, only steps away from printing milk cartons with sort of the lost signs on them, but of another box of cereal
now,
with milk.
Before we get too deep in this, bring me in into the world of this cereal, because the Toast Crunch line is interesting in that it is not just the construction actually varies from cereal to cereal. I mean, your French toast and your cinnamon toast crunches really don't have much to do with each other. So where does Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch kind of fall?
Yeah, so you have sort of the plain square shapes and the tinier bread shapes that are coexisting in this one sort of Toast Crunch family. But Frosted Toast Crunch was a similar cereal that preceded Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch, which I believe is kind of a spiritual ancestor that is kind of important in linking Cinnamon Toast Crunch to Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch. Because okay. What Frosted Toast Crunch did was just stripped away the cinnamon from the original and just doubled down on the powdered sugar to just really get this vaguely more vanilla than anything Cinnamon Toast Crunch experience, which Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch then kind of dunked on by adding more of this amazing buttery, almost yolky kind of undertones that really just hammer in the scooping cookie dough right out of the bowl kind of feeling around Christmas time.
So is this always a seasonal cereal?
Oh yeah, it usually pops up just for a couple months here at the end of the year, but as we said, it was gone for a couple of years, replaced by the Cinnamon Star Crunch, which many obviously thought was could not hold a candle.
So I would assume we could expect to see this start popping up any day now? Has it made its way to shelves?
You know, many people have seen it already at Walmarts and Targets, and I think Hy-Vee even, one of the regional chains. But I actually just got my box today because I went to my local Walmart, and surprise, surprise, it wasn't out there. They were kind of just proud that they had already got the pumpkin pie Pop-Tarts out, which is like, okay, we're real proud of you. We'll put it on the refrigerator, but the rest of us are looking for Christmas cereals already. So I had done my research. I looked on the Walmart website ahead of time and saw that it was in stock at the store. So I put two and two together and thought they just didn't have it out yet. And much like what I did with the Dippin' Dots cereal that came out a few months back, I just asked them if they could go look for me. And it's really a confrontation and a serious dramatic moment when you need to tell someone who's already, you know, not probably having the best work day that they need to go back and search through this dark, scary warehouse for one box of cereal for one dude who's willing to wait there for over 10 minutes for them to come back.
In their head, they must be assuming you've left. There's no way that this young boy will still be waiting for his cereal that he asked us about. There's just no possibility he'll have waited this long.
Yeah, it's the Crunch Munch Ditch, the new prank that all the teams are into.
Oh, Dan. Dan has a nickname at his local Walmart, and it's that guy again, I swear. He's here asking about obscure cereals. So we don't have any cereal on the shelves? No, we have lots of cereal. He wants a specific one that he can only get this time of year.
I always ask for it, and they ask, did you check the cereal aisle? And I'm already holding two other cereals that I've purchased at the time, and it's just, it's real friction.
I noticed here another story. We've got a rumor of Sour Patch Kids cereal.
Yeah, this one absolutely lambasted me. Candy Hunting is an account on Instagram that's really good at finding these early products, and she posted this, not 100% confirmed, she said, rumored image of a slightly blurry but still kind of translatable Sour Patch Kids cereal box that, while may not come from the most trusted source, does kind of have logical ties to the way that Post, who's supposed to be making it, and Mondelez International or whatever, who makes the Sour Patch Kids, have done collaborations in the past, like Oreo-O's, for instance.
Right. What could we expect from a sour cereal? Because I don't know. Have there been many? It seems like an unexplored sort of palate in breakfast food.
Yeah, there have been a few raspberry cereals in the past. I don't think those really catch on very often just because of the tartar nature of it. I actually just tried a one that kind of pretty well fits that bill. The cereal box collector friend of mine, Gabe Fonseca, who I told you about, he sent me a box, like a care package of these OT's cereal, which is like a cereal made in South Africa that has kind of wackier flavors. And one of the ones that he sent me was green apple raspberry. And it actually works, like, interestingly well. It's a lot like some of the sour Laffy Taffys you see, but when you add milk, it really brings it all together.
There's a cereal on here I did not know existed, so my face is red for sure. Maybe it's an old one. Maybe this is brand new and I shouldn't be beating myself up, but tell me about Cap'n Crunch XL.
Oh, man. Yeah, this one was kind of an interesting find as well. It is pretty new to the last month or so, but I had first heard about it like many, many months ago before even sort of the Cap'n Crunch Slurpee era, but I was scouring sort of cereal trademarks, as one does, and I stumbled upon something called Cap'n Crunch's Mega Crunch as like an active trademark, and I had no idea what that could have been. I was hoping it was just one giant crunch berry inside of a box, but in reality what we got was crunch berries that are three times the size of the regular ones. And it comes in a peanut butter crunch variety as well, where it's just these more hulking orbs, you know, just double scrape all the skin off the roof of your palate and really just make a challenging breakfast experience in a very delicious way.
Hmm.
So I found a box at the same Walmart where I had the sugar cookie toast crunch snafu, but definitely the crunch berries were big, and they taste the same, sure. It doesn't really impact the taste so much as sort of the grappling texture in your mouth. But I wanted to find out, geometrically, if they were true to their claim of being three times the size. Mm. So I bisected one with my teeth, again, as one does.
Very scientific.
I knew if I used a knife, it would just sort of powder in my hands. I had to have really the dental dexterity to cleave it in twain. But I measured the diameter of both a normal-sized one and a large-sized one. So there you go. I gave myself an excuse to eat two boxes of Cap'n Crunch as well. So it all worked out in the end. But I found that through most common metrics, these things are way bigger than three times the size of a normal Crunch Berry. So it's kind of close to like triple the diameter or triple the circumference, but like from a volume perspective, we're talking about like 12 times the average Crunch Berry. Close enough to have its own gravitational pull.
I feel like it would mess up the sort of like spoon composure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's really a balancing act because you only have so much real estate, and you've got maybe three of these berries just taking up the whole situation, giving you more of an accidental oops all berries rather than the intentional kind.
You know, it's a little sad. I was always a big fan of Crunch Berries, and then I had this. Have you seen this thing, Dragon's Breath? That they do in some places. They take basically what are tantamount to Crunch Berries, and they put them in liquid nitrogen, and then you eat them, and it makes smoke come out of your mouth.
Oh, wasn't there a big controversy with that?
Probably. That seems to be the sort of reaction du jour for pretty much everything. But it was very bad. And the flavor was so extremely bad and set my teeth on edge that it's kind of ruined me on Crunch Berries a little bit. They were,
really?
Yeah, it was a very painful, non-sweet, non-delicious experience that I really didn't love.
Dang.
Did you, overall, let me ask you this. This is going to be a tough one. If you were confronted by a genie who said that he was going to make one of these cereals, Crunch Berries or Crunch Berries XL, disappear forever, which one would you take for all of time?
I'm going to go with keeping the original Crunch Berries.
Interesting. Is that just nostalgia, or is it a better experience?
It's just kind of eye-popping to look at the bowl and have all these giant blooms in there to kind of, you really have to parcel them out and kind of make a whole deal of it, sort of geographically parcel them and give them their own territory and different patches of the normal crunch. And it's really just so much cognitive strain, and I already wasted all that mental energy doing, you know, basic math back there. So I can't afford to try and do all that spoon balance when I can just have a normal bowl and kind of dive in blindly.
Did you ever... I used to love whenever I would eat. I know I did it with Trix, but Fruit Loops I've done it with. I used to love to eat all except one color of a cereal. And you just have like a big bowl of Crunch Berries or a big bowl of grape shapes or what have you.
Yeah, I did that a lot too, but you kind of reach a similar scenario where it takes you so long to get to that point that once you're there, that the ones left behind are already pretty soggy, and you end up just having this soup, and it's kind of just like a kingdom of sand. It sort of melts below you as you start to enjoy it.
We have have been delighted to receive your emails about our show and about Serial more specifically. It's been a treat. That email address is mail@bowl.rest. We've been enjoying your emails, so if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss, or you just want to say, hey, appreciate you, it's all gravy. It's all Serial. But we have a question from a listener I wanted to pose to Dan, and maybe myself in turn. Hi, Dan and Justin, it says. I would like to bring dry cereal to the table. I'd love to have you at Thanksgiving. Because I love a good dry cereal snack. What are your favorites? Is this an unacceptable practice? Of course not. Depending on the need, i.e. tummy ache, sweet snack, car munch, here are my favorites. Frosted Mini Wheats, probably the best. Mm-hmm. Fruit Loops, that's not my editorializing, that's the email. Probably, I do not agree with that whatsoever. Fruit Loops, Corn Flakes, and Kix. Not a comprehensive list, but a starting point for further discussion. Additionally, thank you for this show, which soothes my anxiety tremendously. Your friend and Serial, Anna. Or Anna, thank you so much for writing. We're glad we could help. You are absolutely... I just don't understand eating a big bag of dry cornflakes. Are you a parrot? I don't understand this impulse to do this terrible thing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't get judgmental. But that's extremely painful for me to consider.
I mean, it's understandable. Dan, I prefer cereal with milk.
Okay, of course. Yes, naturally. Yes, of course. Yes.
But I also understand that humankind, has not yet perfected a foolproof method of transporting cereal and milk reliably. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to lug around a half gallon and look for the nearest fridge every time you're done, or you want to really risk your luck with even the most secure Tupperware, which I felt it can splash all over your pocket, you kind of just got to accept that cereal cravings on the go will have to be satisfied by dry cereal. It's not usually what I want to do, but I've kind of found the beauty in it when you're really looking at a cozy situation and you don't want to move even in the slightest.
I have found that it is very good if you have kids, because you end up in a lot of scenarios where you have time for one handful of cereal, but not necessarily an entire bowl that you sit down to enjoy. And of course, if you eat one handful of something, that doesn't have calories in it. So it's also like a health conscious way of taking in cereal.
You know, I only have two plants and no one else in my apartment, but I still feel the exact same way.
So pick your, what's your dry cereal? Which one do you think performs best in a dry cereal sense? I will explain, but while you formulate an answer, I will explain my cornflakes thing. It's not just because they are not particularly sweet. I have found in my experience that if I eat a lot of dry cornflakes, which I have done before, everybody gets desperate. There's a slight...
In our darkest hours.
Yeah, there's a slight... Like, sometimes when you're making cornflake wreaths around the holidays. Anyway, I've found a slight bitterness to like a big handful of dry cornflakes that aren't accompanied by milk or sugar. I don't know why this is, but this has been my experience. So cornflakes would not be my go-to. What about you, Dan? What are you going to reach for?
You know, I was originally inclined to say Waffle Crisp, but as many of us saw, I was recently alerted that it's been discontinued. So I always love the stuff dry because just the smell of it is more powerful than anything else. Like a really good coffee where the taste relies on the smell right in front of you, you pretty much just get hit by that first wave of just artificial syrup, and then the actual cereal comes in to really do the alley-oop. But, you know, we don't have that anymore, and I'm going to have to make do with sort of the pouring maple syrup on my own Golden Grahams. But as we've all done, you know, like you said.
Yeah.
But I guess if we're going for modern-era cereals, I'm going to reach for those bread-shaped Toast Crunch cereals that you were talking about earlier.
Excellent. They're excellent.
Right? If you grab a handful of those suckers, first of all, wear gloves. I mean, surgical gloves will work, but maybe an of glove if you really want to be sure, because those things will get powder everywhere. But it's because of the powder that I like eating them dry, because it really provides sort of a cushion or a pillow on your tongue when it hits you, because it's so thick. So it kind of does the same thing that milk does in sort of softening the initial blow of the cereal to really ease you into the delicious flavor.
I'll tell you, if I had to pick one, I would probably reach for, and Dan and I have extolled the cereal's virtues in the past, but honestly, it's Donut Shop Pink Donut Cereal. If you haven't tried this one, I'd go so far as to call it kind of a new classic. It feels like the kind of cereal, it belongs right up there with your Apple Jacks and your, you know, Fruit Loops, dare I say it. It is an extremely good cereal.
It really is. It's got that frosted animal cracker texture and flavor.
It is perfect. You know, that said, I actually really like a dry Apple Jacks. Apple Jacks is one that I've come to, you know, you don't think of it in the same breath a lot of the time as your Corn Flakes, your Lucky Charms, even though it's been in the game for a long time. But I can really enjoy the Apple Jacks. I like it's a little bit more multidimensional, and I think it's a very pleasurable. I think that'd be a great jar of cereal to reach for.
That's true. Which part of the Apple Jack really draws you in? Is it the apple or the cinnamon?
There's a little bit of sort of a crystalline red dotted thing on there. I don't know if that's the apple or the cinnamon. I guess what I'm saying is the chemicals, Dan. I really like the chemicals.
Chemicals just really align like the stars and form this beautiful constellation.
Indeed. Well, folks, thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with Dan and I. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us chat about podcasts. If you have, and if you have a second, we would really appreciate you helping us to spread the word. This is a specific sort of program. It's not going to be everybody's bag, but if you could help us to find those people, those unique individuals for whom this could serve as a useful product, we would sure appreciate it. You can do that by telling your friends, tweeting about it, or honestly, a review on iTunes is really helpful and helps us to grow the show. So we would sure appreciate it if you have the time to do that. And also, Dan, they can head over to cereallessly.com. What are they going to find if they swing by this week?
Oh, man.
Or seriously.net?
Seriously.net. Oh, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, man. I said .com. Folks, don't go to seriously.com. It's a hellscape.
We don't know what's in there.
No light can emerge. Seriously.net.
Yeah. We got all kinds of new cereal news coming this month. There's been like new product announcements every single day. I'll be halfway through writing about how Christmas Crunch is back, which it is, by the way, latest blog post as of this recording, I guess. But just as that was happening, the news of the Sour Patch Kids cereal broke. So it's really just like a live ticker newsroom up in here. I am hunched over a typewriter. I've had 6 cups of coffee. It's getting grim, like the olden days.
If you haven't visited the site yet, seriously, go and look and read Dan's fantastic writing about cereal. It's the reason I wanted to do this show. And you are in for a treat. I'm seeing a review of, oh man, Canada Birthday Fruit Loops with a birthday cake flavor. God, that sounds good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was kind of like a tasteful progenitor of the Pink Donut cereal, so I think you would have loved it.
Sad. Anyway, go check that out, rate and review, and oh, you could donate to the show too if you go to bowl.rest. That goes to help keep Seriously running and goes to a local food shelter here in Huntington, West Virginia. But we are done for now. So thanks for listening. My name is Justin McElroy.
And I am Dan Gobert.
As always, don't forget to drink the milk.